engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God said, "Let the water teem with an abundance of living creatures, and on the earth let birds fly beneath the dome of the sky." And so it happened. God created the great sea monsters and all kinds of swimming creatures with which the water teems, all kinds of winged birds. God saw how good it was, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile, multiply, and fill the water of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Evening came and morning followed, the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth all kinds of living creatures, cattle, creeping things, and wild animals of all kinds." And so it happened. God made all kinds of wild animals, all kinds of cattle, and all kinds of creeping things of the earth. God saw how good it was. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle, and over all the wild animals and all the creatures that crawl on the ground." God created man in his image. In the divine image he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the living things that move on the earth." God also said, "See, I give you every seed-bearing plant all over the earth, and every tree that has seed-bearing fruit on it to be your food. And to all the animals of the land, all the birds of the air, and all the living creatures that crawl on the ground, I give all the green plants for food." And so it happened. God looked at everything he had made, and he found it very good. Evening came and morning followed, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all their array were completed. Since on the seventh day God was finished with all the work he had been doing, he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work he had done in creation. Such is the story of the heavens and the earth at their creation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
O Lord, our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
When I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him?
O Lord, our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
You have made him little less than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet.
O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
All sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims the paths of the seas.
O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He went on to say, "How well you have set aside the commandment of God in order to uphold your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever curses father or mother shall die.' Yet you say, 'If someone says to father or mother, any support you might have had from me is korban,' meaning dedicated to God, you allow him to do nothing more for his father or mother. You nullify the word of God in favor of your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many such things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
We have, as part of today's first reading, that foundational verse of Scripture, foundational for the sanctity of life. God made man in his own image. In the divine image he created him, male and female he created them. What does it mean that we are in the image of God? A phrase, by the way, so often repeated by President Trump, that every child is made in the holy image of God, and that therefore we must protect both born and unborn children. Can't every public official say those words? Every public official should be able to say those words. Every citizen should be able to say those words and to put them into action. But what does it mean biblically that we are made in the image of God? You know, we see this as the crowning of creation. He does it on the sixth day, having made on that day and in the previous five everything around us, all creation, which God makes freely out of his own love, manifesting his wisdom and beauty and power. It's the crowning of his creation. And we're different from everything else that he made, because although everything else, like St. Paul tells the Romans in his letter to them, everything else reflects the glory of God. And as Psalm 119, for example, and various other psalms say, that all creation proclaims the glory of God. Nevertheless, when it comes to us, we made in the image of God, we have dominion, first of all, over the rest of creation. You know, we make museums and zoos showing people the animals. They don't make museums and zoos of the humans. We do research on animals. They don't do research on us. And Psalm 8, the responsorial psalm today, reflects this aspect of us being in the image of God, that we have dominion. What is man that you care for him, yet you have made him little less than the angels and given him rule over the works of your hands? Adam, we read in Scripture, gave names to the animals, again, a sign of dominion. It's also the fact that we know God. Everything is made by God. Everything silently proclaims his wisdom and glory, his power. You look at the power of a waterfall, power of lightning and thunder, the majesty of mountains and stars. You see the glory of God, but they don't know it. You and I can say, as Scripture says, for example, you look at the book of Daniel chapter 3, "All you heavens, bless the Lord. Mountains and hills, bless the Lord." We are giving voice, we are giving consciousness, if you will, to the praise that the mountains and hills and rivers and stars give God silently without knowing it, because they don't have a mind. They don't have a soul. But we do. We're made in the image of God. We can know, we can freely praise him. So we are like a bridge. We are like the priests of creation, offering that sacrifice of praise that all the rest of creation offers unknowingly. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Furthermore, that male and female, that reflects his image. the union of two people, then giving birth to more, that fruitfulness of love, that is the image of God. That loving union of a husband and wife, reflecting the marriage of God and creation. We are in His image. We live in His image as we give and receive love to one another. This is why Jesus said, although God is with us wherever we are, even if we're alone, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Why? Because once there are two or more, they can start giving and receiving love. And there's the image of God, because in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are a community of love, constantly giving themselves to one another, receiving, bringing forth life. The Father begets the Son. The Father and the Son generate the Holy Spirit. Life and love to an infinite degree, reflected in a small way in our own lives, loving and serving one another, and living in the family, a communion of persons. Again, the image of God. We are in the image of God because we have a capacity for God. We know Him. We relate to Him. We worship Him. This podium is a creation of God. This vestment is a creation of God. But they don't have a knowing, worshiping relationship with Him. We do. And then, of course, we look deeper at this. Every human life comes from God, belongs to God, goes back to God. This is the sense in which it is sacred. But who is the image of God? Scripture tells us, first of all, in the Old Testament, you look at the book of Wisdom. It says, wisdom is always in the presence of God and is His image. And this wisdom enters into holy souls from age to age, producing prophets and friends of God. So wisdom is always at the side of God. Wisdom is like the Word, very similar concepts. And in the beginning of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we read, the Word became flesh. And He shows us the invisible God, Jesus. Who is the image of God? Read the beginning of the letter to the Hebrews. Read the beginning of the letter of Paul to the Colossians. In the past, God spoke to our fathers in fragmentary and varied ways through the prophets. The letter to the Hebrews tells us now He speaks to us through His Son, who is the perfect reflection, the perfect image of the invisible God, the perfect image of the Father. St. Paul, writing to the Colossians, He, Christ, is the beginning, and He is the image of the invisible God. So Christ is the image. We want to look at who we are, we look at Christ. He shows us who the Father is, and therefore, being that we're made in the image and likeness of God, He shows us who we are. We are made in God's image. Nothing can take that away from us. Not even our own sins. We might act contrary to the image of God, but we don't lose it. We don't lose our human dignity. That's why our founding father said our right to life is inalienable. It cannot be taken from us, and it cannot be discarded by us. This image of God remains, and yet we also grow into it because we're called day by day to grow into the image of Christ, which is the image of God. So there is a dynamic component to this. It's not just static. It's not just here's how we're created and here's our human nature. It's also dynamic. We grow into the image of God. And there's a beautiful passage in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. He references Moses. You remember Moses had a special relationship with God, talked to Him not as ordinary human beings do, but rather as a friend talks to a friend face to face. And we read in the Old Testament that in doing this, Moses would enter the tent, commune with God, and he would come out and his face was being transformed. In fact, it got so bright and glorious that he had to wear a veil. And then Paul, writing to the Corinthians, applies this to today. And he says, well, the veil is taken away in Christ, because now we see the full revelation of God, right? So he says in verse 15, to this day, in fact, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts, those that do not yet believe in Christ. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then listen to this, all of us gazing with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we are made in the image of God, but we're constantly growing into the image of God, which is Christ. And this has a moral component to it as well. The letter of James, talking about the power of the tongue, says we should not be cursing others who are made in God's image. So the fact that people are made in God's image means we have to treat them with dignity. We don't curse them, and certainly we don't kill them. And here we begin to see the moral component behind our pro-life position. If every child is made in the holy image of God, again, as the president repeated over and over again, President Trump, well, then we have an obligation to protect them. We have in, for example, there's many places here, but if you look at, for example, the letter to the Paul to the Colossians chapter 3, we have here, he talks about the renunciation of vice. And then he says that we are to put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiving one another. And he talks about being growing into perfection in this call. Earlier in that chapter 3, he says, stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Now, this is what happens to us in baptism. We have put on a new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. So the growth in holiness that we're all called to, the growth in virtue that we must all strive for actively every day, is a growing into the image of God, which is Christ. And that means renouncing vice, renouncing, as the gospel today tells us, any kind of tradition that sets aside the law of God. Well, the whole mindset of pro-abortion, pro-choice, the organizations that grow up around that to defend it, the shameful practices of those who support the abortion industry. This is like an evil tradition handed on from person to person, generation to generation, now almost 50 years since Roe versus Wade. And boy, talk about something that sets aside the commandment of God. This sets aside one of the most fundamental commandments of God. Let us rejoice today, having heard this reading, that we have indeed been made in the image of God, and we're constantly growing into the image of God. And let that inform our every thought, word, and action to respect that image in everyone, especially the most vulnerable, the children yet in the womb. Lord Jesus, may we rejoice. You are the image, Lord Jesus, perfect image of the Father. Let us ever grow into that image every day in holiness of life. Amen.